Hello, everybody. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. Do you think the Bible aligns more with conservative politics or liberal politics? If you feel the answer is very clear, then guess what? You've taken the mark of the beast. In today's podcast and post, we continue our series entitled Fix Your Faith with an examination of the authority of politics and the state. Influencers and commenters love to use the Bible for their political end, but don't be so easily convinced. Join me now as I show you the persona behind politics and how you can become free from your slavery to it. Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am your host. My name is Kevin Winder, not Winder, and I love to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among other things I do in the world, just like you. And I'm always very, very happy when you tune in. Thank you so much for all the new folks who are finding this podcast. For the next few weeks or week or two while you tune in before you unsubscribe, I just want to say welcome. But, you know, you'll probably be back. Most of you do come back. Well, some of you do. And when you do, you get really sticky. Why? Well, why is it like that? Well, this podcast is not entertainment. It is not clickbait. It is not fear-mongering. It is, like it says, nuanced, liberated, biblical instruction. And why is that important? Well, it's the way that you begin to actually see the world for what it is and see yourself for who you are. Those two things will restructure everything in your life. It will give you a purpose, an identity, a reason, a joie de vie, if you want to be French. Okay, so folks, we are in a series. This is part 7 about a subject I literally hate talking about. And people are always saying, you know, why don't you talk more about politics? Well, I'm going to get into that. But today, I really need your attention. This is not going to fit in any box you probably have. And both sides of the aisle are going to probably dislike it. And this is part of the reason I don't talk about it. But it is a vital component to our series. So this is podcast number 480. It's part 7 in our Fix Your Faith series, and I call it Politically Over-Identified. Yeah. And people do ask, you know, Kev, why don't you do more podcasts on politics? It seems like everything is about politics. Well, of course it is. Like that is, if you're a podcaster, if you're a blogger, if you are somebody who's kind of in the creative space, politics is like the easiest low-hanging fruit that there is. You can pick a side and develop an audience so fast. The more obtuse you are, the more over-identified with one side of the political aisle you are, the more little zingers and hate speech you bring, the more people buy in. I know this for a fact because I've said and had some posts with strong political titles and they will garner 30, 40,000 views in a week. So I can tell you like this is real, but I am not about to camp out there. I hate that kind of ploy. Of course, I have no commercials. I have no, you know, affiliate advertisers. There's nobody paying the bills here. I do that on purpose so that everything you get here is 100% free. I'm not biased by any side of the aisle. Like you have to kind of be hungry for this, and you can't even get hungry or thirsty for this content until you stop being over-identified with your politics. And so this series of Fixing Your Faith has led us out. It's a process of freeing yourself, extracting yourself from all of the institutional powers that have taken over your life. And these institutional powers, the Bible calls exousion. And when Jesus was tempted in the desert by Satan, we were told that these exousion were given to Satan so that he would give them to whoever he will. And that Jesus denied, rejected these temptations to be identified by authorities and glories of the world. And so we have now gone through six different extraction processes from these concentric circles known as exousion, or authorities. Started with the family, or in our prayer closet, right? Now we get to the family and our friends and our vocation and our jobs and our religion, and now we're to our politics. You see, our world is completely infatuated with politics. Politics is the world's biggest religion. It's not Christianity. It's not Islam, not even close. It's not Hinduism or Buddhism or atheism or any of that. Politics is the biggest religion. Even the world's religions bow down and prostrate themselves, get in bed with the state and its exousion, its authority. Okay? I need you to hear this. This is why so many of you say, Kev, you have such a prophetic voice, because you speak such things to power. And I do, but they're not listening. I'm not a threat, right? I'm not a big voice. I'm a Horton hears a who, little who on a flower going, I'm here, I'm here. But if you're here, that's not by accident. Like you're being awakened to something. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be here. And this is something you have to really understand. Politics is a religion that will take your life. In our present political climate, we have lost the ability to see ourselves in others. That's not true for every person, but the political climate, absolutely, for sure. Each political team is a conglomerate of tribalism. Tribalism is very low-level consciousness. It is when we are entrenched, we are over-identified with one or two key issues. Like there are people that vote Democrat because they want to kill babies in abortion. There are people that want to vote Republican because they hate immigrants. Americans feed on algorithms which simultaneously allow us to consume content while being consumed by one side of the discussion. Like on your YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, whatever it is, you click on the conservative voices that you like or respect. You click on the liberal voices that you like and respect. And the next thing that comes up are more of those voices. Like we've become the snake eating its own tail. We're eating and eating and being eaten at the same time. And so there's a blindness that is a blanket over our eyes that politics does to us. You are in a quicksand. Politics is not healthy. Politics is not how we make the world better. Here's a quick test. If the news makes you really happy or really angry, then we've lost something of ourselves. We've taken the mark, the pseudonym of political power. You have become, just like me, over-identified with our politics. Now, I've lived this, and I've really wrestled with this idea for decades. And I've tried to live as an independent, a free agent, not voting political sides. Most people who say they're independents are just, they're still a Republican or they're still a Democrat. They just say they're independent because the political conversation is too annoying and they don't want to be indexed societally. So if people ask them about politics, they just go, I'm an independent. And that it's a way of dodging a bullet. But we have to deconstruct our politics so that we can recover how each person lives a very different life. I live in a part of Colorado that's nice and affluent, and I don't have the same life as somebody in Gary, Indiana, or Alaska, or the South, or anywhere else. My life is mine. Yours is yours. Your town, your city has a different government than mine. It imposes certain rules and taxes and burdens on you that mine may not. Mine offers certain things that your town may not. Everybody has such a different life. And then we haven't even included what it's like in other places of the world who are fleeing here like crazy. Our personal goals should not be divorced from our societal goals, but they are. And that's what politics is when your personal goals are more aligned with the direction of the decision makers. See, so assumptions and our feelings have replaced the facts about how society actually functions. And we vote for representatives who uphold our interests. Well, I'm a union worker, so I want the political party that's going to keep unions going strong, not the one who's going to get rid of unions, right? If I have to have a wage that's based on market and performance, then that's going to change my quality of life. I don't want that. I want the political party who's going to give me handouts and give me free stuff. I want the political party who's going to tax me less and so that my wealth can grow faster and faster. And I can escape all the riffraff and junk that I hate, right? These are all the realities that are in behind politics. And I hope you see the depth dimension here. The way you do that is you have to get through the policies and politics and the personas and the faces who are making all the clips that you consume so much. And same with me, too. It's the philosophy behind it. The idea behind it, the doctrines that are spawning our political ethos, or more like pathos. If we don't see that depth dimension, we are going to be completely seduced into the lies and into our own falsehood. And the beast grows by convincing both sides to hate one another. See, Jesus correctly identifies this persona behind politics and power of religion and state, the two powers that put him on the cross. These aren't your friends. So when Jesus says in John 8:44, he's speaking to the religious leaders, he says, "You are of your father, the devil. Your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." This applies to all institutional power. This is who Satan is. Like, if you're thinking the devil with horns and a tail and all that stuff that you get from fiction, get over it. There is a persona behind institutional power. This is what Jesus is speaking to. And you know that it's lies. You can pick up the newspaper and you can see the arguments back and forth and the lies, the blatant lies. Like right now, it's very obvious Like, the Democratic Party is in trouble. They lost this election horribly. And all they can do is just lie and lie and lie. And the Republican Party is no truth teller, though you can see them trying to dig into the depths of the government and uncover the corruption and the things that are happening and the wasteful spending of everybody's tax dollars. It just reveals that there's been lying going on all along for a long, long time. And it wasn't just the Democrats. The Republicans are benefiting in a similar way. But here's what's behind it. This is what Jesus was saying. Like, and if we see if we follow Christ into this understanding, we get these perspectives. In Revelation 13, John is describing the beast. And he says, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or on the forehead. Everybody, it causes everybody to be marked, to be named, renamed, so that nobody can buy or sell unless he or she has this mark that is the number of the beast or its name written upon them. Like, you can't participate in the economic system without over-identification. That's the biggest delusion of all. That's the biggest lie. But it's such a lie that we all so easily subscribe to. Why? Because we think politics is, it matters. I know. This is why I don't talk about politics. I can just feel you going, this guy is nuts. Like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, like, where does he get, you listen to one side of the aisle and then you're going to hate me. And both sides right now are hating me. But if you're still here, then please hear what I'm saying. This is the truth you won't get from both sides of the aisle, I assure you. It wants to keep you drinking the elixir, not waking you up from it. See, I'm not using the text in the common premillennial, pre-trib eschatology sense. You're probably used to hearing about the beast and being told that it's some European dictator that's going to arise out of the whatever, Russia or something, and take over and deceive the world. And, you know, it's all this one day in the future, this is all going to happen. Like, no, I do not interpret the Bible by the evening news. That's a horrible mistake. And by the way, the preachers and teachers who do so, who say, oh, Jesus is coming back any minute, that you could just charge your credit card because the rapture's coming any minute. Look at what's happening based on what we saw in Israel. Like, these are propagandists who are fear-mongering on behalf of the religious industrial complex. They're telling you all of this to get you to bring your checkbook into their institutional power. They're in bed with the state, folks. My audience typically understands these texts because I've been teaching on them for, over a decade now. These are historical texts primarily. And I've got a link in my blog post where you can go and learn more. But not only are they historical, we can also recognize that these biblical texts are invaluable metaphors for the depth dimension of life. Like, we can't find freedom in who we are in God without first understanding the principalities and powers who are our captors. Like, if you don't see who has your life locked in a little prison, you'll never understand why you're so frustrated. You'll never understand why you can't get ahead or get out or become free or live this experience of freedom. You're going to become a total cynic. You're going to hate your life. You're going to feel oppressed, and you're going to blame some other person. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. This is exousion. These are Satan's to give to whomever you will. And we all get in a big line with a big smile saying, give it to me, Satan. We love it. Give me more. Give me more. Yes. Now, who can claim the above passages don't reveal universal truth about the power of the state? You know that they do. You know that it's as pernicious as it sounds. I'm not making this up. But the reason doomsday preachers get this wrong is because they insist the Bible applies exclusively to a future date, but it's always very soon. It's coming any minute. This is the fallacy of dispensationalism, or this end times doctrine. If your church teaches end times doctrine, premillennialism, they are not good Bible scholars. They don't really know their Bible or Bible history or church history. They're just reading Dante's Inferno to you or some Left Behind series, which is all fiction, and passing it along as if it's a fact, trying to scare you into compliance to the system. Instead of seeing the beast as universally metaphorical for all governments throughout human history. Yes, when John wrote Revelations, he was writing historically about ancient Rome. But the truth about Satan's exousion then is also true now. That's the nuance. Once we recognize how this timeless beast governs how we think, which is the mark on our forehead, and this beast governs what we do, which is the mark on our hand, then we realize how over-identified we are with it. If you put a picket sign and joined a group with a megaphone and walked clogging the streets somewhere, you are mark-wearing. You're proudly bearing its name, forfeiting your true self, taking the identity of the beast. If your politics, your exousion rules you, if it rules any of us from our place of identity, we can know that we live a delusion. Like the game's over, you've lost, you're captive. If you're a proud Democrat, if you're a proud Republican, you've lost on the spiritual plane in the depth dimension. So here I am to tell you, now you know why I don't talk about it a lot. People hate it. And that's fine if you unsubscribe. It does me no harm. I don't lose a single dollar because I don't charge a single penny. You're free to come and go as you please. You see, we're not Republicans. We are not Democrats. And like I said, very few are true independents. That's just a relabeled Republican or Democrat. We are, however, the image bearers of God. Do you think about that? You are the image of God. You are the beloved of God. And we forsake our true identity when we align with the makers or the takers. And face it, folks, every political divide falls on these two lines. Are you a maker or a taker? Are you a person in desperate need of the government's handout? Or are you someone in desperate need for the government to get out? See, both is what you are. You're not just a maker. You're not just a taker. We are all both makers and takers. These are the two paths of being oblivious. And I actually laughed when I was watching the Pope try and give some helpful speech about wrestling with the politics of abortion and immigration. Like, there is no middle road to destruction, folks. It's a wide superhighway that leads to destruction. You want to get off of that? Don't try and split between the two parties as a sensible middle. There's a narrow path off to the side. You got to get off entirely. This is Jesus' teaching. And the correction is fixing our faith. You see, our faith cannot be in our government. Your faith cannot be in the political party. And I know how it feels. Like, it feels like the last 4 years, the leadership was trying to ruin America and the world in just letting everything go and letting all this horrible nonsense take over. And the country reacted and said, it's time to get sense again. And now we see our political leaders moving at the speed of light, making changes to undo as much of the damage as possible and to institute policies that are going to change everything. But it feels like, oh, wow, we're in this possible change that could be really, really helpful. And I don't disagree from an economic. I mean, my biggest political issue is the financial cliff that the country's going to go off of because there's no fiscal responsibility. So for me and my most prized political thing, it's always been the government's waste and spending. So of course I look at this Doge stuff and think, this is awesome. It's about time we gut the government of all of its junk and return to people their dollars back instead of just exploiting them. But that's not the only part of this story. You guys, we cannot overpower the power. Freedom comes from subverting the power, getting our faith off of our government. I don't have faith that the Republicans are going to take us to a redeemed world. I am sorry. They are going to take us to a different world, maybe slightly better in some ways, probably worse in others. No different than the Democrats who are going to just take us to a completely different world. It's not better. No political party is going to get you there. Stop putting your faith in them. Faith belongs in God, not government. Every protest is a delusion that overpowering is possible. If we just get enough of us together, we can overcome. You know, you can't overpower the power. I'm telling you what's behind it. We must withdraw our faith in the state and repatriate faith in God in order to regain ourselves and our society. Christ following, not religion, mandates we love our enemies and not hate them. Now, social media loves appealing to God and the Bible if they can feel it justifies their politics. I love all these people who, you know, hate Christian nationalism or hate Christianity or hate the Bible or whatever when they're talking about abortion. But then now they're like, oh, the Bible speaks to the refugee. And so now all of a sudden they're Bible thumpers, like they care about the Bible. That's BS. Nobody cares like that. They're the most delusional of all people. Jesus said in Matthew 15, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He's quoting Isaiah, who's prophetically talking from the voice of God. Contemporary religion isn't helpful either. Like if you think your church is giving you the facts, most of them probably are not. The business of religion is the great prostitute straddling the beast in Revelation 17:3, folks. She, religion, has dominion over the kings of the earth. Like, you can see how political leaders also have a religious bent, don't they? So, no, our goal is not Christian nationalism, folks, nor Bible-rejecting liberalism. You don't want either of those two extremes, trust me. Your priest, your imam, your pastor, your guru is no more help to you than the Sanhedrin was to Jesus. See, we don't want a Christian nation, folks. Do you understand why? Where religion serves a political end? Like if you have a Christian nation, then people will say they are Christians to have political power. They won't actually be true Christ followers. What we want is a kingdom led by Christ followers. And well, what does that look like, Kevin? This is what it looks like. God's kingdom is established, it's obtained, it's possessed, it's joined by serving, by divesting ourselves of power. We bring excellence and service to the world and forsake ourselves for the sake of others, Philippians 2:7. Jesus said, it's not my will, but your will, Father. right? We have to have a not my will attitude. We're not here to selfishly and irresponsibly plunder the world for our appetites. That political ethos leads to personal, societal, and ecological ruin. We can do better. Christ offers a different path. We're to serve one another, build one another up, learn from one another, and make a society that is just for all people in concert with creation, as co-creators. Not plunderers, not tribal warriors who hate others and have to eliminate the weak in order for us to have our joy. We can't forsake those in need. We have to have compassion, or we lose our humanity. We can't glean our fields to the edges. We can't mistreat those who labor with us. If you're a boss, you can't be an oppressive boss. Everyone, however, is required to work. We don't have slouches. We don't have lazies. We don't have flunkies. Get over your addictions so that you can serve the world and the world doesn't have to keep covering your gaps all the time. We have to contribute in service to others. There's no job that's too bad for you. Every job serves humanity, and in that, it's an honorable work. If a person will not work, neither shall they eat, says the Bible. It says we're to pay our taxes, but it also says tax collectors are not to extort. The kingdom of God is governed by the love of God working in the heart of each person. Society is redeemed from the inside out through freedom and love, not in captivity and hatred. When Jesus was explaining this kingdom to his disciples, he put it like this. He said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Folks, that's the upside down servant leadership model. You don't lead from the top, you lead from the bottom. And if you're skeptical, I totally understand it. Cynicism is the fruit of captivity. So may I offer this. Our world is only too far gone to the degree that we remain over-identified with our politics. Once you realize that we don't live in distinction to everyone or in distinction to everything, but instead you learn that each of us are the very means by which God has come into the world, then we need to only manage the sphere in which we're placed. You don't have to worry about changing the whole world. Just focus on the sphere in which you live. Your sphere may be small and may only be your family, may only be a friend or two. But if you focus there, the sphere will enlarge. And as it does, more people will be benefited by your desire to serve and humble and be free. They'll learn, how can you be so free? And you see, a free person who knows who they are in God can love others as themselves, which is the greatest commandment. You'll forsake all of the pursuits of authority and power because you realize that influence is infinitely better. You'll subvert it's a power over you. By not trying to have a power over dynamic, you'll just let it go, and the power can't touch you. It's like water off a duck's back, and now you're free. And then you can join in the restoring of all things just by focusing on the restoring of the thing most immediate to you. Maybe your life, maybe your families, maybe it's your job, maybe it's whatever it is. If you can make it better, it's your job to do so. And only God has the authority and the power and the means to do that. And he's going to do it from the inside out, not the outside in. This is how we subvert politics, is a change of heart. And so I'm going to close you with this little verse. He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." God bless you as you contemplate these things.